Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, March 10th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Crazy day in the markets. A wild and woolly day. Gold sort of hung in there a little bit. You have gold down $5.80 right now, $5.80 at $11.62 on the New York spot. You have silver down 8 cents at $15.75. Platinum was down 18 at $11.32. Palladium got hammered the most, down 20 at $8.02. And the biggest cause of that is the U.S. dollar trading at 98.63, up 0.97. And, of course, that had a big impact on oil, down 1.32 at 48.68. Paper markets today, the Dow also got a little bit of a dropped in the last half hour of trading, 328 to the downside, 332 as it's correcting, down 332, 17,663. The NASDAQ down 82 at 48.59. The S&P down 35 at 2,044. So much for that NASDAQ being glorified at over 5,000, but that's just my opinion. And so you also have the euro is trading down 1.42 at 107, and even the 10-year pulled back 0.07 at 2.13%. Foreign markets were down overnight. Germany was down 1%. London was down big, 2.5%. The Nikkei and the Hang Seng, they were all down not quite a full point or full percentage. So the big one was London, down 2.5% at 67.02, down almost 170 points. So it's fluttering around the world as far as the markets. And, everybody talks about we feel everything is teetering. Everybody is waiting for, something to happen because these markets are certainly sometimes there's just no rhyme and reason for a lot of these things. And, of course, the biggest talk has been Apple, and their stupid watch. that people stand in line for. Even that was down over 1.5% today. The big numbers, GE was down. Citigroup was down almost 3%. Microsoft was down 1.5%. Even Google was down over 2%. So it looks like they didn't share the losses, or the losses were shared with everyone today, Al.
Well, that's the idea behind much of what happens here. I was mentioned earlier, I was reading an article that dealt with George Soros and a theory of reflexivity, which I would be surprised if most listeners know anything about. I didn't before I started reading the article. But one of the things that makes clear to me, one of the things I understand for the first time reading this, we have a system that seeks to share responsibility. All right, they want to distribute the risk. And we see investment after investment and system after system. They want to distribute the risk of investments among everybody. And that's why they took the subprime mortgages and sliced and diced them and included them in chunks. Chunks of each mortgage were essentially included in different bonds. And the bonds became mortgage-backed securities. And it turned out they were all nonsense. And they ultimately described them as toxic assets. And they had to get rid of them and hide them in the Federal Reserve. But the point I'm trying to get to is they are constantly trying to distribute the risk as far as possible. That's a fundamental theme in modern economics and modern finance. Get somebody, and the idea is that if we all take $5 worth of risk, then they can move $1 billion here, there, or whatever, and we'll all, if it goes south, you lose five, and I lose five, and everybody loses five. Well, the problem is they keep on get five and five and five and five, and pretty soon you are at risk for an enormous fund. This goes to the concept of personal responsibility. What risk means is personal responsibility. If you invest in a particular stock or a bond or a precious metal, classical economics means you must be personally responsible for whatever happens to that investment. If you are smart and you invested in the right investment and it increases in value, then you get the profits. And if you were dumb and you invested in the wrong investment and the price falls precipitously, you have to take personal responsibility for that problem. What risk is all about is personal responsibility. But when they set up in modern economics, they try to divert us from that risk. They try to distribute the risk by creating things like derivatives, right? And they find ways to hedge. And they play all of this to get us away from personal responsibility. And the net result is it's possible for people in positions of power to make investments where the great unwashed, the taxpayers, they wind up with the responsibility. This is where we get too big to fail. They are too big to fail, which means they can't be held responsible. And what I'm beginning to understand for the first time is how important it is to have a system, an economy of investing, and fundamental principles, and a system for investing in markets where people have to be personally responsible for their investments. And they are trying to create a system where individuals don't have to be personally responsible, and it's dangerous. It may be something that I'm not explaining very clearly right this moment, but over the course of the next weeks or whatever, I'll get this down. I'll understand this better, and I'll be at a point where I can explain it more clearly, I believe. And I think the first insight is to just understand that what risk means originally is personal responsibility. And whenever we have some investment scheme that seeks to distribute risk, right, it means we're going to give the risk to all the idiots out there. They won't get any of the profits. If the system works and they make money, that money goes to the entities that are too big to fail. But if the investment fails, well, we'll give the failure to the great unwashed. And it changes the economy. It perverts the economy, the investments in particular, where the people that are making the biggest investments have no personal liability in the investment. Or at least they have diminished liability in that investment because they've distributed the risk. I don't know if that makes any sense yet, Melody, but it will over the course of the next weeks. And blah, blah, blah.
Well, also by spreading that risk, as you say, it's the way they also can control the, you know, the economies.
Well, they control by not taking responsibility.
They control the, well, but the bottom line that affects you and me is, wouldn't it, like, control the economy? I mean, it controls our jobs. It controls what people make. It controls how it affects those that work and live for work for a living and so forth.
It's the whole idea behind central planning. We have people in positions of power in the government, just as they did in the former Soviet Union, who are deciding how to run this economy. They come in and they say, well, I've read a book on this, and I'm very intelligent, and I got a PhD, and therefore I get to run the controls, see? But the problem is they don't take personal responsibility for their decisions. If they screw up, a bunch of other people might go broke, but the government bureaucrats, the central planners, do not. They are exerting influence and even control without risk to themselves. And one of the implications from the article I read about George Soros is he grasps this, and he has devised different strategies, in a sense, to deal with it. But he says this is the reality of the way the world works at this time, and as a result, he is perhaps the single most successful investor in the world histories. Again, according to, and I'm not praising George Soros, I'm not advocating his morality or his system of values, per se, but you got to give the devil his due. The guy has averaged 27% return on investment for the last 41 years. That's an extraordinary track record. Warren Buffett, according to the article I was reading, he's averaged about 25%. All right? And there is an implication in all that. This is a little offside. But if you see someone who comes up and offers you a deal where you can double your money in a month, and I'm aware of one that's going around right now. All right, you can double your money. All right, it's just it's moving around. I know a friend who's going out to some meeting out in Arizona or something. You know, and it's just here's a reality. The best investors in the world haven't been able to break the 30% per year mark. All right, I don't doubt they've had a year here and there when they made, where maybe they did. But long term, they can't get past the 30% return on investment per year. All right, not so far. So if somebody comes up and says, I got a deal for you, and you can double your money every 60, 90 days, that translates, if you double your money every 90 days, we're talking something like 400% return on investment. Warren Buffett is glad to get 25%. George Soros is glad to get 27%. It's about as good as it can be if they're offering you a deal that generates more than 25, 27% per year. It can't be real. It can't be true. All right? So, I don't know if that's helpful or useful information, but I think it should be. It gives you, okay, this is the max. And truth of the matter is, average investor, he's happy. He's happy if he can get 8% a year. These guys did three times what the average investor did. But nobody's coming out with a deal where you can double your money every 60, 90 days. It can't be real. It has to be a Ponzi scheme. What else, Melody?
Oh.
There's one from Miles Franklin. Says,
let me just say this. We do have a guest on today. We have Rob West. Yep. He's writing a book, The Banker's Web. It's about the LIBOR interest rate fixing scandal. And it always amazed me how little of an impact that scandal had. Certainly there are a few people maybe went to jail and fines were invoked on some of these, bigger financial institutions. But truly, when you think about, how that rate has been used in our everyday lives and through every loan that was created over this period of time, it's all based, and it didn't seem to matter. Or maybe it does matter, but it's just taken a little bit longer for it to make that difference. I mean, all those contracts, and we'll talk about Rob when he gets on, all those contracts, as far as you think they'd be null and void. You know, and well, these are bonds. Think of the number of derivatives that were written.
He has an 85-page book that he's put together, and I haven't read the book. I've only skimmed through the first 15, 20 pages. But if I'm understanding correctly, what he's arguing is this. Well, there have already been 6 convictions by the Department of Justice against banks that were responsible, criminally liable, for setting the LIBOR rates. And what he says, if I'm understanding correctly, Bob or Robert can correct me when he gets on here, is that because there have already been these convictions, and nobody's talked about them. Well, I won't say nobody, but it hasn't been big news. Banks have been found, you committed crimes. Well, these banks are still on the hook for whatever crimes under 18 U.S.C., Title 18, United States Code, Section 3771, if I recall correctly. It's for victims of crimes, and you have an opportunity to go back after the banks and collect some of the money that you may have been defrauded out of. Now, he'll have an example that deals with a mortgage, for example, just a hypothetical. And it may be that over the course of a 30-year loan, because of LIBOR, you paid an extra $85, $90 a month on your mortgage. Well, he's arguing, we'll see, we'll find out for sure, but my reading of the book...
We don't want to give all the information away now. Bob won't have anything to say.
He'll have plenty to say. He'll be able to explain this, because the idea is, if you've been robbed by LIBOR of $80, $90 a month for 30 years on your mortgage, you've been robbed the best part of $30,000. If I'm understanding his book correctly, you may have an opportunity to go back and claim that $30,000 loss and maybe collect it, right, without having to actually sue in court.
Well, he'll be coming up soon, so we'll be starting his interview at 20 minutes after the hour. And I worked with Rob for several times a couple years ago. He's a good man and great, and you know, he has a great company, the Financial Preservation Network. So we'll be talking to him after the break. And there really wasn't that much going on in the news. Of course, Hillary was being talking about all her emails, and you know, she's releasing a lot of those emails, except for the ones that she deleted. And it's just like, really, you know, she's about as Teflon as Mr. Clinton was, Bill Clinton was, and it doesn't seem that anything's going to stick. And really, there was a lot of those folks who had that used their own personal accounts. You had Colin Powell and, you know, a lot of those folks. But what was interesting, I thought, was the server. The server was actually, from what I understood, was created by her husband. And it remains private. So I think that's a little bit different than just using a personal email account that goes through your, you know, the government and so forth and whatnot. I mean, this is a private server that Bill Clinton and all the necessary.
And why did they create that server?
It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
It makes it sound almost like a conspiracy to obstruct justice.
Then that server is going to remain private.
Yeah, but it's also an opportunity. It's like being able to transmit all of my telephone calls and email and whatever. We transmit them in a way where nobody can read them except the intended recipient. And not only that nobody can read them, but they are subject to being destroyed, removed, whenever it's convenient to do so. And doing that constitutes obstruction of justice. You can almost bet, I can't tell you it's God's truth, but you can almost bet that Bill Clinton and Hillary said, we need a private communication system where if push comes to shove, I can talk to people, but if push comes to shove, we can delete my email where nobody can find out what was really said. They can prove conspiracy, but it certainly sounds that there's grounds to suspect conspiracy.
I mean, certainly when you're in those types of positions, you think you just pick up the telephone and talk to eliminate anything that is actually written on paper. And is email considered a letter, a document?
Yeah, it is.
So it's you wonder why you would place yourself in that type of a situation, knowing it.
Things are moving fast, and you don't have time to think, and you don't have time to write a letter by hand and put it in the mail. You got to contact somebody right now. Get to them now, because something is unfolding and you don't have time. So you've got to, you know. And it puts them in a difficult position. I can see, but I can hear by the sound that we are allegedly going into our break right now. Seems like premature breaking to me, but we'll get our clock synchronized in a moment. Melody and I will be back with our guest Rob West in just a couple of minutes. Please stay tuned. I'm Alfred Addis, Melody Cedarston, Financial Survival. Be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today, and I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, and we have our special guest today, Rob West, and he's in the process of writing a book, The Banker's Web, and it's all about the LIBOR interest rate fixing scandal that was first addressed on and around 2012. And Rob has continues 5 decades in the financial arena as co-founder of RME Advisors and the Financial Preservation Network. He's a senior financial strategist for both companies. RME is a financial education and research company that does not sell financial products. He's had a long career, and I want to welcome Rob to the program.
Thank you, Melody. Can you hear me fine?
Thank you. Oh, it's great to have you here. It's been a long time.
It has. I was really, really happy that we communicated here last week, and Al, I also remember talking with you as well, so hello to you.
Hello. How you doing, Rob? This is an interesting book that you've put together. Because it's not, if I'm understanding, I haven't read the whole 85 pages. I've only had an opportunity to skim over the first 15, 20 pages of the book. But if I'm understanding this correctly, this is at least laying the foundation for what may be a legal strategy to recover some excess payments that have been made on mortgages and car loans and any other kind of loan that you've paid, maybe not any other kind, but at least some kinds of loans that people have paid in on over the course of the last 20 or 30 years. Am I understanding this correctly?
You're right on. And like Melody was saying before, this LIBOR scandal has been, and my research indicates it's been going on since 1991. And so there's like a 22-year period there that the LIBOR fixing has affected not only loans, but the amount of money that you have in your savings account. It's also affecting your tax rates. And you might find this unusual, but the more I got involved with the research, then, and you were talking a little while ago there, I think Al or Melody was, about derivatives. Just in that arena, the effect of LIBOR in the derivative market seems to affect $500 to $800 trillion in transactions.
For what?
Various things, including a number of municipalities issue tax-free municipal bonds. Cheaper for them to introduce a bond on a variable rate, but that's also risky. Well, the bankers have made arrangements to back up those transactions with derivative measures that would allow them to issue a variable rate in the idea that the derivative contract, if it goes against the municipality later on, then the bankers would pick up the difference. Well, some of them didn't work out so well. Yeah. Not only have I found that the FDIC, the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, but also the National Credit Union Administration, have all sued after the Department of Justice and the FBI have obtained these six criminal convictions. So what I'm very sure I'm going to get down to here, even if you own property outright without a mortgage, your taxes could have been affected because of a negative reflection of having a derivative take advantage of the municipal bond market, of which they have no choice but to take those mistakes and pass them along to everybody in terms of higher taxes. So,
and you, by mistakes, you mean artificially high interest rates.
Right. Well, if they were forced to hit, like the city of Baltimore had a situation like that, they were named in one of the suits I looked up, subject to award money, because when the interest rate credit default swaps and that don't work as they intend them, then they have to buy them back and unwind the deal. So that can create a financial loss for the municipality just in the unwinding effect. But, you know, most people think the mortgage arena is the most affected. And right along behind that, the amount of money in student loans now exceeds credit card debt. But any financial transaction that had a LIBOR influence in the last 22 years is subject to going back to 18 U.S.C. Section 3771 and other related criminal code. And when I first was hearing about this, a friend of mine, Carlos Cato, has a financial fraud company there in Virginia. And he'd been in heavy research with this and helping me formulate a lot of my information. But right in the criminal code, it's set for people to have protections under 3771, as well as the criminal code answers full restitution, which means if we're talking about a mortgage, you get all your money back that you put into the property or the loan transaction. The balance of the loan gets completely expunged from county records.
Let me be clear. Sure. Let me see if I understand this correctly. You're saying there's full restitution on your mortgage. Do you mean there's full restitution on the part you were overpaid, or the part that you overpaid in terms of artificially high interest rates imposed by LIBOR? Or are you saying that there's full restitution if you had a mortgage for $250,000, the restitution includes the full $250,000?
Exactly. If you would reference 18 U.S.C. Section 470, what it's saying there and the related code underneath is that counterfeit acts created outside the United States, and it explains it all right there. And so the counterfeit act was the LIBOR manipulation created outside of the United States affecting American people. So my contention is it makes all of these loan transactions counterfeit. Now, where it really gets disgusting, if people get their car repossessed or their house foreclosed on, that's called grand theft auto and grand theft real estate, because they're using fraudulent documents to take your property. So
I hear what you're saying, and you're tapping into something that is an extraordinary argument. I would have to imagine what we're saying here is anybody who's had a student loan may be able to get some of that back. Anybody who's had a mortgage may be able to get some of that back. Anybody who's had a car payment may be able to get some of that back, maybe more than some of it. But we're talking potentially, I mean, I saw one of the examples that you had in your book, and it was just a typical mortgage, and again, you calculated that it might translate into something like $80, $90 a month that people overpaid on their mortgage because of LIBOR. And you're saying over the period of that mortgage, you may be able to recollect that or regain that $80, $90 overpayment, which would translate into something like $30,000 over a period of 30 years on the mortgage.
I'm saying that the U.S. code in the criminal side says you get all your money back. And whatever you had borrowed gets expunged from county records as if it never existed. Now, when I was telling Melody the other day, the book's only about half done, and what I shared with some folks was my research so far to get them to follow along, because I quite frankly didn't believe what I was reading either, and what Mr. Cato was telling me that he'd been researching. But, you see, the bank guys want to keep things on the civil side. They don't want to talk about the criminal. So, but you look in the criminal side, and everything that's been going on internationally for 22 years is a crime. And you'll see in the middle part of the book, it points it out very clearly. And it's information that I've researched. I didn't just come up with these ideas. I mean, there's a number of court cases that I've reviewed. Now, I was telling Melody about this the other day. Everybody that had an adjustable rate mortgage, they're typically the first part of the month when the reset date comes up. Now, it must be just an accident, but between 2000 and 2009, that 10-year period, the LIBOR rate spiked one day almost 7 basis points and then went back down the next day. And guess which day it spiked up?
The day they calculate the adjustable rate mortgages.
There you go.
Yeah.
And some of the testimony.
What are the odds, huh?
Yeah, what are the odds? That's just like a 10-year oddity there. So, also in the testimony, I'm not sure if it was from Credit Suisse or Barclays, but it was common practice. And part of my book is the quotes from the law or the trial. That's what these guys did, and they were just expected to do it. So if you look at the criminal side of it, then, well, you guys are totally on point with the entire system, but since, what, Rothschild in the 1600s or 1700s started promoting the fractional reserve banking and so forth, then the Nixon administration topped it off in 1971 by unpegging the gold standard. Well, money can be created so rapidly for anything, but if that ain't going to do a quick enough job, they created derivatives. And there's not enough money on earth to cover all the derivatives that's out there from all countries combined. So I think the financial system is very tenuous. And if I can prove these things, which Mr. Cato has helped me fill out complaints, which I've sent to the governor, the attorney general, AG Holder, the county attorneys, I can figure to everybody I put on notice with a certified mail complaint. And my challenge is to get their attention. I mean, it sounds so massive, nobody would believe it. A friend of mine here in Denver is an attorney and a professor of real estate law here at the university. And so he's on board with helping us get research and get some attention, because I'm thinking if we can help a lot of people see what's available, at least when the entire financial system collapses, you'd just be a little better off, even though your greenbacks wouldn't be worth anything, but just you keep your house. And then if you get restitution back, call Melody as quick as you can and put it into something you can keep. You know, it's just, you just can't make this stuff up.
Now, this is an extraordinary claim. Now, if I'm understanding correctly, so far, have there been any successful applications of this theory? You're applying it right now in your own life for your own loans and whatever. You're going through the process right now. But if I understand correctly, you have not yet had a success. Has anyone had a success or even a failure on this so far? Or is this just at the beginning?
Well, it's actually both. Mr. Cato's company counsels people and prepares complaints. And I know you're not going to believe this, Melody and Al, but there's been over 60... wins for individual people using this complaint mechanism. But the condition is they have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. So I can't find out the details about those. See? So Mr. Cato's group has, they're right there in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And when the new Congress came in, he and his associates spent a few days down on Capitol Hill talking about this and attended hearings about this. And if I heard Carlos mention at one of the hearings, a leader of the finance committee just looked at him and he said, "Well, what do you want me to do about this?" He said, "Well, you know, you guys were elected to fix this stuff. We're just bringing it up. I'm surprised that here on Capitol Hill you haven't heard about this, because the FBI is here, and so is the Department of Justice, and all you need to do is pick up the phone and make a call." And they indeed did that, to check out their story. And they were panicked when they called back. Said, "You're right." Now, there's another section of the code that's kind of interesting, 18 U.S.C. Section 4. What it says there, this is called misprison of a felony. So if you're aware of a felony, you have a duty to report it, either to a judicial authority or to a military authority.
I get what you're saying here, which means by bringing that subject up, in relationship to some bank manager or bank official who is perhaps responsible for you losing some amount of money, all of a sudden we have a wonderful incentive for him to say, you know, why don't we write you a check? And you just go away.
Well, maybe those other cases were won that way. I just don't know yet. But the governor knows now because I sent him certified mail, and I know he got it. And so is the attorney general. So with 18 U.S.C. 4, they're talking about, I think, up to 3 years in jail and a fine. And guess what? If you're a lawyer, I think you're going to have trouble with your bar card.
Yeah. If you're convicted of a felony, you're out.
So, but anyway, there's a lot more research I need to do, but I really think that through the financial fraud consultants there, Mr. Carlos Cato's company, and the work we're jointly doing, that we certainly have a reason to finish the book, let's put it that way.
All right, well, let's take a break for some commercials, and we will be right back with Rob West and some extraordinary information. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
When I'm Melody Cederstrom, I'm here with Alfred Addisk and Rob West, who is in the process of writing The Banker's Web, and it's about the LIBOR interest rate fixing scandal. And Rob, it really amazes me, and you know, I can't wait until your book is complete and you're able to finish your investigation. And I'm sure as you go along, it's just mind-boggling the things that haven't come to the attention of anyone. And they've just pushed this under the rug. We know little Timmy Geithner was well aware of the rigging. So the powers to be knew it was going on. And, I mean, you would think that all these loans, all these bonds, all these contracts should just be null and void.
Well, that's what the criminal code of the United States said. I didn't say it. I just looked it up after having quite a bit of coaching from Carlos. And you know, there's a chronology of things that you're so good with discussing, Melody, that, you know, if we just go back to 71 and the gold standards removed, then 99 is an interesting year because of the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act. 2005, many people just have no clue, but for some reason, things are going well back then. And, you know, Fog and Mirror get a loan, you know, and the securitization process of all these loans, Wall Street wanted more and more and more of them so they can make more and more securities. And with Glass-Steagall gone, you know, they had a completely green light. But in 2005, I don't know who really did this yet, but the changes in the bankruptcy Chapter 7 filing occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do you suppose when things are going so well that they changed the BK7 rules to make it more difficult to file a 7, which mm-hmm. is a complete dismissal of debt? And I believe it's because the banking system knew what they were creating, and they keep you hanging on with your fingernails going down the chalkboard. That was one way they could do that. And, of course, 2007, 2008 was the years of the debacle. And so now we're cresting in to 2015, which I believe is going to be a very pivotal year. And if I can move this book along, and you remember Sherry Peterson, she's been quite encouraging mm-hmm. to do this book. And she introduced me to this professional book coach here in Denver named Polly Lipovsky. And she gives me a lot of encouragement as well. And you wouldn't know this unless you read her book or you found out some other way, but she was the first woman to walk around the world on her feet. So, but anyway, all these things are going on, and when you put them all together, and this isn't a theory, this is just exactly what happened. The bankers have continuously manipulated the entire financial system so badly that we need to help people get back in control and get control of their financial life and hopefully pick up gold and silver and things that can just explode in purchasing power. And you know, I've been talking about this for a long, long time. Even way back before I got to know Melody, I'd been introduced on the phone a lot with Bob Chapman. And everybody just waiting for the next shoe to drop, but it hasn't dropped yet.
Yep.
Much to our amazement.
Yeah, and I just don't want people to become so complacent. You know, I mean, it's easy to do when you're expecting something and it never shows up, but these things are just not going to be ignored. I just don't think so.
Is there a time constraint? Is anything happening where the opportunity to make claims on the excess interest that you may have paid over the last 22 years, is there a time constraint where time is running out, a statute of limitations or change in law or something like that? Do people need to move quickly on this, or can they kind of take their time and study it and understand it a little more clearly?
Two things. One, I believe my understanding of when a fraud is discovered, you have up to 3 years to prosecute after that. Two, I don't think there's a whole lot of time left, but even if Congress went back and changed all the laws that made everything I found not valid, it would only be invalidated from points going forward, not what happened in the last 22 years. So I think that people really need to look into this, and we can make some assessments, you know, car loans, credit cards, vehicle loans, airplane loans, student loans, mortgages, of course. But see, it's just been so massive and going on for so long, I don't believe there's any way that an individual situation can be litigated. And if you look at the criminal code side instead of the civil side, see, have you ever heard of a person stumbling into a sheriff's station and they got two knives sticking out of their back. And they said, well, we'd like to help you, but we can't until you get an attorney and file a complaint. Well, see, the criminal side don't work that way. When you notify of a potential problem on the criminal side, then the authorities, FBI, and because I'm talking about federal crimes here, they need to investigate what you're alleging to see if you might have a claim. And during the period of this investigation, if they decide you do, you then fall under the protection of the Crime Victims' Rights Act. And you can go right on the FBI's website and read that, and it also includes financial and emotional crimes. And I've got some local guys here telling me, well, I was down at the Sheriff's Department last week, said, well, see, it's not in our brochure. Well, you know, I'm not sure, but I think the Fed guys trump you. And if it's not in your brochure, I think you might have a problem with that. It's just nobody's pointed it out.
What do you mean it's not in your brochure? You mean that if you take your complaint to local or state authorities, they'll say, well, this isn't something we enforce. And is that what we're saying right now?
That's what I'm saying. Because in their world, a financial crime like that doesn't seem to be in their jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, well, you know, the federal guys, it's in their jurisdiction. So...
And they've already proved that it's a crime because there have been six convictions.
Exactly.
Right? There have been six banks that have been found guilty. So we know at the federal level, we know that a crime has been taking place. This is not just your theory. It's not just your conjecture. The government says, yep, this is criminal.
Exactly.
And you're saying you can use that and you can leverage those previous decisions by the federal courts to perhaps move federal courts again, or perhaps move state and local courts. Is that true?
Well, if we can continue down the line of getting the criminal support from the code, I don't think this matter has to be a matter of litigation at all.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. But the question is, who will enforce? Does it have to be federal? Could it be state or local?
Well, I don't remember the citation, but there's another section of the code. Two of them might be kind of interesting for you. One is that from the president's position in the White House on down, he can delegate authority down to a local level to take care of the remedy for the claim. So that means probably your township trustee can set aside your mortgage. See? We don't need to have everybody all alarmed about this. So, and
this can be done on an administrative basis rather than a judicial basis.
Well, I don't know. I'm right at the point right now that
okay.
I've sent out so many things certified mail that I put these people on notice, but I still don't believe they're getting my attention, or I'm not getting their attention. And I was in with another friend the other week in with a county attorney in their courthouse. And he said, well, what do you think the problem is? And I said, well, right downstairs where you have all these deeds and notes filed and all that, he said, I think they're all counterfeit. Doesn't that bother you? At your local level? See? He said, well, that's just out of my jurisdiction, you know. So
I understand. It's not my yub.
You know.
Freddie Prinze. We got Freddie Prinze in the prosecutor's office. He's not my yub.
And I'm
Let me ask you this, Rob.
Yep.
Although your book is not yet completed, is any of your preliminary information available to people, and how do they get it if it is?
If they would like to have what you're seeing right now, which is what I call the author's edition, and just initially on the research with LIBOR, there's going to be other things later. But, yes, they can either connect with Melody or... they can reach out to me by email, and rob@rmeadvisors.com would be a good email address for that. And I'd be happy to send that along, because we need to have as much notice of what's going on. And, you know, I'm even going back taking a college course on social media, because more and more people need to know this. They have no idea. they're getting their property sold. They have no idea they're overpaying. And they're going to wonder why they don't have any money at retirement. So,
they're going to wonder sooner than that. A lot of them are going to get that moment of wonder will hit long before they get to retirement, because I don't think it's too far in the future for any of us.
There you go. At least probably not the target audience of my book. So, but, yeah, Melody can share my email address if she would like. And I can pass some things along for further reading. And periodically, Mr. Cato and I have conference calls. And if someone has an interest, I'll let them know our schedule and a call-in line so that, individual questions can be answered in a group form, actually. So, but it's been great, Melody. And Al, thank you so much.
Well, we've got a couple more minutes here. We're not going to turn you loose just yet.
Can't go, Rob.
It's a nice try, but you're not escaping. You got to do another 3 minutes here, Rob, before we let you go. You understand? Just like going to jail or something like that. We're not going to let you out until it's time is served. So you got another 3 minutes or thereabouts. Why don't you give folks your email right now, where if they are interested in getting a copy of the book, no obligation, no cost, then the book as it stands, it's preliminary, it's not finished. But if you wanted to get a copy, where would they, what email would they use?
Rob, my first name, R-O-B, at rmeadvisors.com. That's for Rocky Mountain Educational Advisors.com.
Okay.
Or they can also contact me, and we'll make sure that we get them over to you, Rob, in order for the information to be sent out. I just got a really quick question. We all say all the time, there isn't anything we can do. We just have to wait. There isn't anything we can do. There isn't anything we can do. But with those proven convictions and with what you imply to where, I mean, this could really open the book to exposing our financial system and the problems. I mean, is that too far-fetched or?
Not at all. And I think people, they owe it to themselves to investigate what I'm finding. And Carlos and I have great conversations about all this all the time. But when this system goes backwards, it's going to be a tough one. And at least this way, get yourself engaged and become a student yourself and don't rely on 6 o'clock news and, just all that kind of stuff. And I'd be happy to share anything that I know about that on an organized basis. And we can make it a topic for other discussions as my research continues. So that'd be great.
Well, I hope you come back on the program once again, Rob. I hope you'll be our guest.
I would appreciate that, and thanks so much for the invite.
All righty. Thank you, Rob.
Good talking to you, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Well, Melody,
it really is interesting. It always boggles the mind.
Yep.
It boggles the mind at how big this is, and it just didn't get the
problem. Boggles the mind that there might be a way of getting back at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what boggles the mind. I'm not particularly astonished that the bankers of the world have pulled a stunt to rob the people. That doesn't amaze me. But is it possible that there's a valid strategy where we could get some of that money back? That's what boggles the mind. We'll find out more from Rob in the future. Right now, Melody and I are out of time. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd go
in America.